The following podcast is a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net. The following Spectrum One podcast may contain language that some may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to yet another installment of the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by the Freakin' Awesome Network. My name is Nikki Heyman, and I guess the weather's keeping people from getting into the studio tonight. Jason, how's the roads?
Roads are great for now, but we'll see how it goes from there. But I know we're a place that it's warm and sunny, and that's the other side of the world, Shane. Is that right?
It's hot as balls, Avery.
Well, I can send some of my weather your way. It was roughly 6 degrees the other night.
Yeah, it generally gets to that during our winter time at night.
So, but we're not here to discuss the weather. We're here to discuss wrestling. And really, this was a fairly light week, but there was some very important things going on. Where should we begin?
I don't know. Why don't we start on something that's delightful?
Ah, yes. Brother Matthew, I knew you'd come. I know that's supposed to be for Jeff, but ever since the Hardys had come to the WWE back at WrestleMania this year, everybody has been waiting and waiting and waiting and chomping at the bit for Broken Matt. And it seems that a alignment of the stars and Ed Nornholm finally getting his head out of his ass, that Matt is finally getting his opportunity. As we saw on last week's Raw, he had a delete fit after a match with Bray Wyatt. Mm. We'd seen video packages, and then this Monday night is the highlight of the show, according to most of the usual complainers. Broken Matt broke into a Bray Wyatt broadcast.
Actually, Woken Matt. You can't say Broken Matt. It's Woken. But we all know, you know.
We do. And I am just, you know, to be honest, I've only watched one of the deletion videos. And so now I'm crazy curious of how far they're going to let Matt go with it, because the rumor is Vince is not even going to put his hands on it. He says, dude, go for it. Do your worst.
If Vince lets him go, we'll see Senor Benjamin, King Maxwell, you know, Queen Rebe, you know, Vanguard One. Fucking A, let's go. Let's go batshit crazy.
And I really hope that rumor is true. Shane, your thoughts?
I agree. Because that was the thing that made Matt Hardy great with Impact. Give him creative control over his character and watch the brilliance unfold.
Because, and I think Vince, first of all, Vince loves crazy batshit stuff like this. Number one. Number two, any footage that they shoot over at the Hardy compound doesn't cost him a dime.
Not anymore. Vince can pay for this.
Well, Vince could back it financially. He's already backing it creatively, but he could back it financially and actually get, you know, I don't know. I'm kind of torn on how much of a bump in production values I want for this. Just how batshit insane of the one that I did see.
Well, yeah, I mean, put it to you this way. Remember that awful House of Horrors match earlier this year? That will be gone.
Yeah, that shit's gone. The New Day trying to crash the Wyatt compound, that's gone. As Matt says, please observe my beverage and watch what I do next. I'm sure there's a fancier way of you know, I don't know how to speak broken very well. Hold my beer and watch this shit.
Yeah, well, and if you notice, his Twitter has been off the chain.
Oh, holy crap, has it ever been? He's going nuts with everything.
This is his chance to rub Ed Nordholm's nose in it and roll around in the money. And when Jeff gets back, it's only going to get weirder. But good on you, Matt. I am so looking forward to what's going to be going on with this. Bray Wyatt is a perfect fit in your universe. And I've seen a lot of jokes about, you know, about other wrestlers guesting there and falling into the lake of transformation and coming out in old gimmicks.
Oh, no. There's one here that's brilliant, and Jason Jordan haters would love it.
Mm-hmm.
I communicated with Jason Jordan's soul following his hashtag Raw battle. This rapscallion has only dwelled in one previous vessel before this one, and it was one of a jackass. How utterly apropos.
Oh, dear. So they throw him in the lake of transformation and a donkey runs out?
Mm-hmm. yeah, exactly. And he goes, and he said, I'd be exuberant if your house, the Day of New, stands with House Hardy on the side of the light in the Great War. Okay.
Ooh. Yes, please. Add unicorns to the broken universe.
Mm-hmm.
We can only go up from there.
And he's made it seem like, he's also made it seem like we're going to see another interesting possible feud after his thing with Bray Wyatt by teasing maybe having a feud with Finn Balor.
Ooh, can you imagine the Demon versus Woken Matt Hardy?
Shut up and take my money now. I'll pay for a year's subscription just for this feud.
But I'm telling you, I mean, this is going to make 2018 very interesting for the Hardys.
It is. And, you know, once Jeff is back, you know, and
Nero, yes.
Once Brother Nero returns.
But. Seeing as though Mr. Nordholm has released, create like people's characters and creative control of their characters to them. Will we see Jeff Hardy back, or could we see Willow the Wisp make an appearance?
Or Itchweed, or you know.
I don't know if he'd be allowed to do Itchweed. I know that.
PG. That's not PG, man. That's not PG.
No, it's not. Although, admittedly, you know, they could just say it's a take on Poison Ivy, Poison Oak, Poison Sumac. But we know what we're talking about here.
Yeah, Rob Van Dam would be like, dude, you disqualified me from WWE for this shit. Like, now you're promoting it? What the hell?
Dude, Itchweed, can I get in this universe? I think the broken universe is a little too chaotic for Zenmeister.
But it's still insane.
Oh yes, and this has got a lot of people excited, and because apparently all the rest of Raw was meh. Okay, let me get this straight. We had a fairly short talk segment at the beginning. It wasn't a 20-minute Triple H monologue. Mm. We had a Roman Reigns IC title match that went through, if you count the before the match break, three commercial breaks. and was a serviceable match. We also got a lengthy women's match. We were focusing on the wrestling and less on the stories, and people are still bitching!
We talked about this last night on WLTI. We have two game shows, Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy, that are going into the National Association of Broadcasting Hall of Fame. People are bitching. Yeah, and they're bitching about that.
Okay. I have, you know, People's is stupid.
People's is very stupid. Okay. So, People's is very stupid. So, what happens is, oh, man. All I say to you is that I mean, you know, if we go through Raw for just a second, well, you know, okay.
I we don't have to go through the whole thing, but I'm just saying that the first hour and a half was probably better paced than what they've had, you know, what they've had on and off the last couple of months, and that didn't work either. You know what? Shut up. I think there's a real reason that Vince doesn't listen to you people anymore, because you don't even know what you want.
It's just human nature, unfortunately, for people to complain about things.
Right.
You can give people the perfect match that they want. Like, here's an example. We could get AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura for the title at WrestleMania, and people will complain about the match being too short, the match not being what they expected, or whatever. It's like, dude, you fucking ask for this match and you don't like it. Like, fuck. Shut up.
What's up there with, actually, you know, I'll, the perfect example, AJ Balor. Oh, there was no build-up for it.
But it was awesome. It's one of the matches of the year.
I was there.
I know. It was awesome, wasn't it?
It was amazing. It was awesome. It was now, wonderful.
Speaking of Ed Nordholm, okay.
Do we have to keep talking about him? But go ahead.
Well, no, because there's actually a lot of reorg at Impact, believe it or not.
Yeah, I heard Dutch got the boot.
Well, no, hold on. Here we go. So Scott D'Amore and Don Callis are the top executives right now as EVPs.
Okay.
So Callis starts the company in January. Callis has been working as the executive director for Manitoba Trade. Callis also intends to remain with New Japan as an announcer, but that will depend if he can balance the two sides. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
One source says that Johnny Impact, or, you know, Johnny Mundo, and Taya have both signed deals with Impact that would allow them to be utilized on Lucha Underground when the series films its next season. That's a good call. Very good for Hannigan, by the way.
Well, I think that's very smart. I know he knows where his bread is buttered, and Lucha pays.
Mm-hmm. There'll be more talents exiting over the next month or so, including top of the card names. Okay, and there's a larger, more contingent of Canadian-based talents forward. John Gaborik will be leaving after the first of the year. Dutch Mantel is leaving, and there's going to be more, supposedly more consistently in 2018. Sanjay Dutt is still in the mix of creative and producers. Jeremy Borash, Jimmy Jacobs, Gail Kim, and Abyss will be working as producers as well, and production will remain in Nashville as it needed, and Bob Ryder is still with the company. So, look, I think they're trying to get better, you know?
They're trying, but it's one of those, you know, they've been trying for so long, you're just waiting. You're waiting for the bomb to go off.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to succeed. As we've said multiple times on this show, we want them to succeed, but they are so spectacular at their failures. I do wish them luck. I mean, I consider Scott D'Amore a good friend, and he's done some. He's tight with my ref buddy. So, you know, Scott wants this to work, and I know Abyss wants this to work. If he's transitioning into a producer agent role, I think that would be great. I'd hate to see him leave, I know Lashley and EC3 were on the short list of departures. Lashley will probably be focusing more on his MMA, and EC3 probably going to go, hey, anybody up north still interested in me?
There's going to be a lot of people interested, you know?
On one condition, Ethan, remember, you have a wellness policy to deal with.
Yeah.
So, if he comes back, great. You know, we'll find something for him to do. But he's got the cred now that he can go just about anywhere he wants.
Mm-hmm.
You were going to say, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, I think that's very big. You know, if I may, we're just bouncing around. There was also something very interesting that happened with Nia Jax on Raw this week.
Yes, this is probably the other thing people are very curious about. And Zoe and his posse, including the extremely white Drew Gulak, which they should have kept it. Quick sidebar. They had a segment where Gulak was pretty much left in charge of the Zoe train while Enzo is out of town, and he got the mic. He's got Enzo's mic. So he was practicing. How are you doing? How are you doing?
Because yeah, Gulak is an idiot, you know?
I love it, but it's awesome. It's awesome in its own way. And now PowerPoint presentations are things that people actually look forward to.
Right.
But back to the actual deal. Zoe rallying his boys to make sure he gets a proper, you know, proper opponent when he has to defend the Cruiserweight title. And he turns around and there's this lovely buxom,
very woman. Big girl who goes, how you doing?
I instantly got a Beth Phoenix Santino Marella vibe.
Yeah, so did down. I.
Because I was like, hi.
Rumor is that Nia is going to join Enzo on 205, and I'm like, really?
Okay, think about this. Okay, he's got his posse. Now she's China to his Triple H.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
I'm good with this. If they're not gonna put her in the title, if she's not in the title mix and she's not aligned with anybody right now, you know, as long as they don't pass her around like they did Alicia Fox. Alicia Fox. Hi.
Mm-hmm.
I had to do that. We need more creepy. I need more creepy Noam Dar in my life. Anyway. But yeah, let's see what happens. You know, worst comes to worst, she can pull a Braun Strowman and go out there and beat them all up.
Exactly.
So, what else is going on? I'm sorry.
Oh, just also, by the way, Entertainment Weekly in its best and worst of 2017. Mm-hmm. Named Glow as the best TV show of 2017. How do you like that?
Given I've watched a few episodes.
Isn't it awesome?
I'm blown away. A couple of people warned me about the adult content, but it's not that.
No, the first episode was a little crazy, but you know, it gets there.
Right, and things that are going on in here, it's like, you know, I've been there, I've seen this, you know, this is crazy hilarious. And sidebar, since they're doing more for it, a couple of wrestlers auditioned for the character of Steel Horse for Glow.
Oh yes, yeah.
Among those dignitaries that tried out were Chris Jericho and The Miz.
And it went to Alex Riley. Wow.
And Reggie got the job. That's karma for you, Miz. Alex got the job because he actually did the audition in character.
Well,
why wouldn't you do this in character?
Mm.
Dude.
Oh, and so, so do we want to talk SmackDown, or do we want to talk about the Arabian tour, or what do you want to talk about? Or do you want to talk Sheamus?
Well, I want to, there's something SmackDown related that I want to bring up, because we saw the seeds for it leading up to Survivor Series, and it would be a fun cross-brand story. The Usos put out a video that they want to take on the Shield.
Mm-hmm. Again?
They want to crack at the they want to take on the Shield. Now, what's Roman's thought on this? Because go ahead, Shane.
I was going to say we saw a partial build up to it, like, but with the Usos facing off against Reigns when the whole Survivor Series teams attacked each other, but yeah, right. Like the Usos froze in place, like, okay, we don't want to go back to carrying a bag, so we're just going to stand here.
No, it's more like, whoa, wait, different brand but family. And then Dean and Seth jumped them.
Yeah, exactly. But I love this cross-brand story because, again, because the Shield Usos is one of those things where you could do it at the Royal Rumble again, and you could do it at WrestleMania. You could do it.
Right. And you have the added layer of if Roman is put in a situation, whose side is whose blood is thicker? His brothers in the Shield or his family?
Oh, but I've got a proposal for people, because like a handicap match between the Usos and the Shield, it'd be cool to see, but what if for one night only you want to make this a real family event?
You bring in The Rock?
Not the Rock to team up with the Usos. I was thinking for one night only we get the return of the bad man. Of Rikishi.
Dad's going to come in and help his boys out. Yeah. He can still go. I mean, he can't do as much as he used to, but he can still go.
Mm.
But I'm just saying that if you'd like this, I would just love to be just to see that situation where what does Roman do? Are Seth and Dean, Seth and Dean are his brothers in the Shield, but the Usos are family by blood.
Heel mode activated.
Which is weird because the Usos are faces right now.
Oh no! Not the Usos. I mean, this is the part where Roman turns on the Shield.
No. Well, here's the deal. You notice that Roman actually had a very interesting fight this week, and we're not talking about the Intercontinental title picture.
Okay. Well, he had to deal with Jordan. Is that what you're talking about?
No, Jason Jordan got booed out of a building in L.A. That was great.
Yes.
There was a meme that went around about that. When Roman Reigns and Jason Jordan are standing in the same ring, you don't know who to boo. You don't know who to boo. It's like, who do you boo?
You boo Jordan. He's a heel. I mean, I've done the same thing posting a picture of John Cena and Roman Reigns. Who are you booing in this picture?
Exactly. But Jason Jordan right now, I'm liking his whiny heel right now.
Yes. This is kind of the same tack we had with Kurt. It's working. It's really working, guys. So anything important happen on SmackDown that we really need to go over? Because it feels like the Fed is more or less in a holding pattern right now.
Let me just double check.
Other than, like, the Riot Squad got some good traction and looks like they're pushing Sarah Logan a little bit.
Mm-hmm. They got to work on her accent, though. It's too freaking thick, and everybody's making fun of it.
Southern?
Well, it's deep Southern, but she's laying it on so thick that she's mangling her words. So the boards are asking, you know, what in the world is gay meat? Mm. When she was talking about wild game and hunting.
So we had the Bludgeon Brothers debut. Bobby Roode wins by DQ. I mean, again, it's all holding patterns, per se, mm-hmm. even though... So there's going to be a Sammy and Kevin tag team match next week, and if they lose, they're fired, not from just SmackDown, but from the WWE. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, whatever.
So they also taped tribute to the troops this week, which is going to mm-hmm. air on WWE Week next week. And yes. we're going to get NXT for reals on I believe, USA.
Yeah. Now, is it live or is that pre-taped?
That's the pre-taped. That is okay. the pre-taped. Yep. And so we also got the fact that we actually had history take effect with the Raw crew this week. Because you all know the Raw crew has had an amazing, you know, once they left, they went to Abu Dhabi.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the night before on December 7th, you actually had history where we actually had two women wrestle, Sasha Banks and Alexa Bliss.
Yes, but to make sure they were culturally
respectful,
appropriate, they had to go out there in bodysuits.
Yes,
for lack of a better term, people were calling. You know, said Sasha called MVP to get hers.
Yeah, well, she did, but that's fine. I don't care.
No, I'm perfectly okay with this. I'm just glad they actually were allowed to wrestle. And just to throw this out there, December 7th was also Dean Ambrose's birthday, and somehow the cake did not end up in his face. But it was tiramisu, so you don't want to abuse it. And, you know, tiramisu sounds like a stripper's name. You know.
But, and what happens is that there was a challenge made on that show from Abu Dhabi on the 7th where, let's see, where was this here? The Shield beat Samoa Joe at the bar, and Triple H got into Roman Reigns' face after the match. So, today in Abu Dhabi, Triple H actually wrestled yet again. I think he's warming up for Jinder. He faced Roman Reigns for the Intercontinental title.
And to that, I'm going to ask the question, why does God need a spaceship? I mean, why does the evil boss want the IC title at this point in his career?
I know. So then so then after the match, Sheamus and Cesaro attacked Reigns, but hey, Triple H made the save on Reigns.
Aww. The evil boss does like his big dog.
Yes, woof, woof, woof. But
no, I think Triple H.
Go ahead. Shane?
I was gonna say, I think Triple H had a Shield flashback to where he was wearing the vest, and he's like, "No one attacks my Shield, brother."
Yeah, Hunter, make up your mind. Seriously, make up your mind. Since we've mentioned the bar, we've got a definite situation that we need to pay some attention to. Now, it was said on Raw, I think it was last week.
Two weeks ago
that Sheamus had flown back to Ireland for, you know, it sounded more like a vacation. I was thinking, okay, we know that the bar's been, you know, been running it pretty hard over the, you know, since they've been together. But unfortunately, it wasn't a recreational respite for our favorite Irishman.
Nope.
No, I even...
Well, Shane, go ahead.
I was going to say, no, I even brought it up on the show last week, although I misdiagnosed it, and I do apologize for that. I said Sheamus had gone on a radio show while he was in Ireland, and had stated that he was recovering from neck stenosis, and getting treatment for that, using like this neck device to try and help recuperate the situation. But it turns out he has spinal stenosis, so the same thing that unfortunately took out Edge early on in his career.
And it's something that we got to keep an eye on. This is what, you know, this is what got Edge out of the ring. This is what supposedly got Austin out of the ring. There's a joke in there that I'm not going to tell.
Okay, you could put this in the red book. 2018 will be his last year. Yeah. Not even. Okay, don't doubt me on this. Because I know what spinal stenosis is. I've worked, auto car accidents and things like that. He's been doing this for 15 years. He wants to walk. I will bet you he retires after WrestleMania. Mark it down. Does that make sense?
Okay. Question, though.
Okay.
If Sheamus does retire, does WWE just release Cesaro?
Because No.
But hang on, let's be brutally honest here. It's no secret whatsoever. WWE does not have faith in Cesaro whatsoever. They've not pushed the man at all. They gave him the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal thing, but I honestly think, no offense to the memory of Andre the Giant, may he rest in peace, but I think that was just a charity thing that they did for him. Even Paul Heyman himself, your uncle Nicky, has admitted on a radio show that, or on a podcast, I should say, that that when he got put with Cesaro, it was basically just so that he could promote Brock Lesnar. So there was no real point to it.
I'm hoping that Cesaro's work this past year with the bar, Jawjack aside, that they can see that Cesaro at least is a good hand. I'd love to see him back in the B-belt picture. He seems to do well in tag teams. I mean, he was part of the reason people actually cheered Jack Swagger for a while.
Yep.
I would like to see more 00 Cesaro back on my television if Sheamus does have to retire. Because I think you could really do some stuff with that. And even do some crossover things, because Cesaro is goofy enough that he would use 00 Cesaro on a fashion file. I'm just throwing that out there. I mean, we've been Sheamus has been on WWE TV since 2008.
Right, and he's been.
And he's done, come on, he's won a Rumble, he's won a Money in the Bank, he's been a WWE champion. He beat John Cena. It was a fluke, but he beat John Cena. It counts.
He's been a WWE champion, world heavyweight champion. In fact, he holds the record for the quickest win in WrestleMania history.
Yeah, and 18 seconds, yeah. But, he's got a hell of a resume to walk to step away from. So if they can't help him with the spinal stenosis, he can walk out with his head held high. I really would love to see two or three more years out of him, but I'm not going to push it if his life is at stake. I would rather see him go out with a handshake from the evil boss than have him carried out. But that's any wrestler. So Sheamus, just, take it easy. If they say you can go ahead and go, but keep an eye on it, because We don't need a big fellow like you have taken a seat permanently.
But Speaking of being able to go, it seems like Daniel Bryan's been given the green light.
They say whatever.
Again, is it WWE doctors?
Well, apparently, yes. Apparently, WWE doctors have said that Daniel Bryan's cleared to wrestle. So I don't know. It's just a matter of if WWE higher ups say yes to it.
Well, they've got a built-in feud for him already because he's, you know, our little goat here has been butting heads with Shane McMahon. I'd take that for WrestleMania. I would be more than happy with that at Mania.
Again, well, oh, speaking of Mania, guess who is being close to being signed?
Kenny Omega?
Ronda Rousey.
Oh, yeah, I did see something about that. And I would be more than happy to see her.
Because the rumor is that she's been working out at the Performance Center.
Cool. Yes, please. Yeah,
and the rumored matches, there's actually three on hand at the moment, which I'm very surprised with. One is we're going to see a repeat from two or three WrestleManias ago. Ronda Rousey versus Stephanie McMahon.
That was 31, I believe. Yes.
Yeah. Or she's going to face Charlotte Flair for the title, possibly. One that has got me intrigued, although I think would be an instant death sentence to Ronda, creative-wise anyways,
mm-hmm.
is Ronda versus Asuka.
Actually, that could swing either way.
Because they say that's the reason why Asuka's been using the armbar lately instead of the Asuka lock. It's to tease people about a possible feud with Ronda Rousey, saying that Ronda Rousey is the master of the armbar.
Well, and to be honest, Ronda Rousey would be a hell of a name to dethrone Asuka.
Oh, yeah. Ronda Rousey, the one to beat Asuka's undefeated streak.
Somebody who's gone through MMA, you know, has already had her run in with the Authority. She won, by the way. And she comes in and takes out Asuka. And then we get to see her in feuds with Shayna Baszler and.
Yeah, and.
The chick on Raw.
Sarah Logan?
No. One of Paige's gals.
Oh, Mandy Rose. Sonya Deville.
Thank you. I feel bad. I apologize to all of these gals that have been called up. Because, you know, give me Ronda Rousey and Sonya Deville. Give me Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler.
What's that?
What is that incessant tapping?
I think that might have been coming from my kitchen. I do apologize.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
It's all good. And I think our other big story is the one that you're probably best to handle for, Jason, and that's the content battle with Raven and Buff Bagwell versus the Fed.
Yeah, I gave you the list. So what happens is that that got dismissed, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Bagwell and Levy for royalties got dismissed. No settlement. They've agreed to drop the lawsuit after being deposed, and agreed to the stiff that they can't bring the new lawsuit. They got screwed. Oh, man.
Okay. It, McDevitt with a submission hold. I mean, did you really, was there any doubt? Well, actually, there was some doubt, but McDevitt, you know, put them both in Kimuras and said, you get nothing. Now, Bagwell's case, actually, I think his part of it was pretty much null and void anyway, because there was one contract that superseded the other, even though he said he didn't sign it.
Right.
That's the same suit, yeah.
Yeah, and, exactly. Yeah, he said, yeah, exactly. And we talked about this, and the dismissal prevents the company from having to move over and forward. So the content and closes the door. Yeah, let me tell you, this is a huge win for the WWE and bad for all those wrestlers who didn't get paid.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed?
It is, but some of this is their due diligence. I know that there are a couple of guys who have had to go in there and, you know, had to make a couple of nasty phone calls regarding content. I do recall hearing one of these stories at a show. I will not disclose the name because I don't want to get him in trouble, and I don't feel like getting in trouble myself. Mm-hmm. So,
it's big. It's big.
It is big, and it's something that, you know, but it is a line that had to be, it's a line that had to be drawn one way or the other. I think it kind of sucks that some of the guys aren't going to get any royalties from the online content of the network, but how can you measure that accurately?
Especially with contracts before this type of technology
and media yet to be developed.
Yeah, well.
True. So it's you know, it's I don't know. I really don't.
There's going to be some way worked out. You know, well, who did? I'm curious. Who?
Getting back to the Rousey thing for a second.
Sorry.
Yeah, getting back to the Rousey thing for a second, because it's just something that bugged me. It's something that really pissed me off. And for those men and women that are used to adult entertainment, Mia Khalifa.
Her? Really?
Yeah. Who's a very, very well known Lebanese porn actress. She went on to, ironically enough, hosted her own sports talk show. Unfucking believable. And she had the audacity to say that she doesn't respect WWE because it's fake and scripted, and says that Ronda Rousey going into WWE just makes her lose all credibility. Now, here's the part where I shoot, ladies and gentlemen. The fact that a fucking porn star who takes dicks for a living and reads scripts for a living to do shitty acting has the audacity to host a fucking sports talk show, which by rights gives that sports talk show less credibility than anything Ronda Rousey ever does in life.
Mm-hmm.
And has the audacity to call it fake and scripted. Sweetheart, what the hell do you think you get paid for a living? I highly doubt you're actually getting abducted by aliens and taking alien dicks for a living. But, hey, you know, it just pisses me off that people need to stay in the friggin' spotlight by making stupid ass comments like this. This pisses me off about as much as Tommy Dreamer saying that he put fucking Australia on the map by coming over here and doing shows. Fuck you.
Tommy, you know better than that. Number one. Number two, wrestling's fake. Chica, you can't tell me you enjoyed every last one of your movies.
Oh, and by the way, you know.
Sorry, I had to put it that way, but yeah. Go ahead, Jason.
Oh, no, I'm just saying, Kevin Nash had knee surgery, you know, finally.
Not quad surgery? Oh.
No.
Yeah, no, you got, from what I heard, he got a nice little scar from it, too, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 20, yeah, you want to see a picture?
Sure. Well, I think
sure, why not?
Yeah, hold on a sec.
I was gonna pace myself here.
Yeah, you got to. Yeah, just hold on a second here. Take a look at this.
Nikki, when you set up Jason for a good segue and it just completely flies over his head. I just gotta pace myself here. Pace myself.
Ow.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Ow.
I know people prefer getting staples these days, but that's ridiculous, man.
Ow.
That looks like Sabu after every ECW show.
Yeah, pretty much. He's supposed to be at the 25th anniversary show, you know, the one I'm going to. I'm just trying to think. Did we cover everything that we wanted to cover?
Let's see. We covered Sheamus. We touched on the pacing for Raw. We talked about Broken Matt. We talked about the lawsuit. We even snuck in a thing about Reggie getting a job. Alex Riley, sorry.
Yeah.
I just would have loved to have been there at that audition when Miz is like, who else could you find better for this part than me? Like, come on. And in walks Alex Riley wearing the whole steel outfit. And he's like, hey, Miz, what's going on? He's like, oh, you've got to be fucking kidding me. It's like, so I'm getting fired for this guy?
Yes, isn't it karmic? And I hope Miz went into one of his big A-list retirades when he found out.
Yeah, and by the way, he also tweeted about those insane fires, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That are out...
out west?
Yeah.
That's scary. I can't even imagine a fire outside my door.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't.
You can't what, Nikki?
Imagine that there is a fire creeping through my town heading for my apartment block. Granted, this is mostly concrete, but would not enjoy.
But just a quick question before we do wrap up. Just going back to Raw for a second, because we know we're going to have
There's five matches. I'm sorry. You want me to set those up for you?
Well, I was aware that Shield, all the Shield members have single matches on Monday, where we're going to get to see Dean versus Samoa Joe, which is going to be just a huge car wreck. Roman versus Cesaro, which I'm interested in, of course. Seth Rollins versus Sheamus. Red flag, red flag, red flag, red flag, red flag, red flag.
Yeah, especially with that ripcord knee finisher that Seth now uses. I don't know how Sheamus is going to go taking that, but okay, well.
Maybe he won't. This might be a match that Seth doesn't win. And you said ripcord knee strike? Okay, I was calling it a short arm knee, so I like that
that's
better.
That's what they call it in the game, anyways. Ripcord.
Okay. No, I was just curious. Then again, if I had 2K18, I'd give him his curb stomp back. I know we've already seen Roman versus Joe, and I would have no complaints with seeing it again. Cesaro and Roman. I'm good with that. Dean against Samoa Joe. Make it a street fight. Let's really have some fun. What else is on? Kane's going to take another crack at Strowman.
Yeah.
Oh, and also, Jericho is not going to be available for WrestleMania, by the way.
Probably because he's
touring with Fozzy.
Well, yeah, he's touring with Fozzy and planning that train wreck cruise.
Yes.
Yeah, he's got a very busy schedule in front of him. He's got Wrestle Kingdom 12 with his huge match with Omega. He's got the Twilight cruise. Because nobody's going to remember shit. And then the tour with Fozzy, which everyone will remember. But
and for the cruise, I hope all of the TMZ is on board. Because nobody's going to remember anything. Exactly. Except the press.
I can just imagine it now. Just the three big thuds that come on. Dun dun dun. Iron Sheik pisses offside of boat. Doesn't remember a thing. Piss off, your jabroni. Get that camera out of my face.
There's going to be a WWE 24 on the Hardys.
I still have to watch the Kevin.
Oh yeah, so here are the five matches for Raw, as we said. Here it is: Reigns versus Cesaro, Joe versus Ambrose, Rollins versus Sheamus, Kane versus Strowman, and Swan versus Gulak.
Oh, that's right, the cruiserweight thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, to say who
it's going
to
be Swan. It's going to be Swan.
Well, of course. And then, you know, Gulak's gonna get his ear gabbed off by Enzo when he gets back. I know what we forgot to talk about, and unfortunately, I'm not very well informed about it. They did a new show debuted on WWE Network called Straight to the Source.
Oh, I did not see that yet.
I have not seen it either. But it's Corey Graves essentially having a sit down with Roman Reigns, and supposedly Roman said that he's the best wrestler in the world right now. I love you, big dog, but I can't back that with a straight face. I love you, big dog. I do. But
Chris Jericho and Kenny Omega right now, if they sat down and watched that network special, I wouldn't be surprised if I saw it on YouTube's The Elite channel. Mm-hmm. And Kenny Omega just like choking on popcorn cup.
I want to see. I would like to see just the two of them overselling the statement, because, you know, like I said, I love Reigns. He's a serviceable worker. He's not he's still got to work on his promos, but he's not supposed to talk. He shouldn't have to rely on his promos. This is wreck shit Reigns. He's the one who's supposed to go out there and just beat people up. That was his job in the Shield. You have Seth, who's a great talker, you know, talk about the scheming and cackle at all of their plans. You have Dean, who's going to explain in very explicit and specific detail of what he's going to do to you. and enjoy every minute of it and get more and more excited as he explains it. And then they get out of the way, and Roman does it. So
now the thing is, Roman is actually getting face pops. Do you think it's more a Shield thing or a Roman thing? I think it's a Shield thing.
It's a Shield thing. I mean, we're getting a Shield nostalgia pop. There are boos in there, but it's right now it's still kind of 80-20 cheers. And I think it's just the fact that, you know, if Roman's out there with his Shield mates, there is less of a chance that he's going to pick up a microphone.
I think that's why he's getting the face pops. It's because it's turned Roman into who fans started liking.
Yeah. We're getting the Roman we were cheering for.
Exactly. Because, there's one person I will promote. I rarely do this, ladies and gentlemen. Go check out this guy on YouTube. His name's Delexman. He puts it perfectly. He does a video that does a parody of creative versus what fans want, and explains with Roman Reigns where they've gone wrong with Roman Reigns and why fans have turned on him. And this is one of the reasons he explains, because Roman went from this guy being the simple guy of protecting his brothers and just kicking the shit out of people to then being pretty much the guy that everyone came to hate because he was the corporate guy. He tried to talk more on the mic and he basically lost who he was or who he was built up to be for like 2-3 years there before the Shield broke up. And then he became this completely different person, and everyone's just like, who the hell is this?
Yeah. I mean, you know, they tried to turn Roman and John Cena light, and thinking that Roman, okay, hey, he's related to The Rock. I bet he can talk. I still want to know the name of the writer who gave him the Suffer and Succotash, Tater Tots, and the Roman and the Beanstalk promos.
Yes, they need to die. A slow, painful...
I think it was Vince McMahon having a grandpa moment. He's probably watched too many Looney Tunes with his grandkids and just said, Roman, you need to go out there and you need to say Suffer and Succotash during one of your promos. It works. My kids go crazy for it.
No, I want the writer to be put in the same state of fear as that pyrotech who accidentally set the dead man on fire.
Yeah, he's dead.
We know he's dead. He was told I don't want to see him again. But I still think Undertaker took care of that himself. Anyway.
Hey, There are two people we haven't seen since when it comes to poor backstage workers. One's that pyrotechnic guy. The other guy was a guy named Stan that got his head kicked off and got up when he asked his name. We haven't seen that poor guy since. Haven't seen him backstage. I think we've seen his twin brother walking coming out on SmackDown every now and then doing perfect tens, but yeah, I don't know.
I thought his brother's name was Sean. Anyway, so
sorry, breaking the fourth wall here.
No. It's still a good joke. I hope that someday I actually run into him again, because I am going to give him two pictures. I was at Backlash 06.
Oh, God.
So I saw Stan kicked live.
There you go. But I think we need to sell some soap, because you said real life is getting in the way, right?
Yeah, I didn't mean to make people run to the studio like this, but an opportunity is being presented to me, and I am going to take full advantage of it, because there's green involved.
Heyman never said no to money.
Yeah, but I never turned down this show, even if I don't get paid.
No, you don't.
So I wanted to make sure that this show happens, and it happened, and we made it work. So now it is time to start selling some soap. Shane, what do you got?
Just the usual, guys. Go check out Supercards, but we've got Ring Domination happening right now, and I'm currently working on my SummerSlam 17, guys. So come on.
It's Roman.
Is it? Oh, sweet. That makes me want to try and get it even better now. Not.
just letting you know, and if you actually go get as far as Beast card is Mark Henry.
That's just sizes right there. Just because Mark Henry is a big guy, don't call him a beast. Unbelievable.
I think you'd take it as a compliment.
You're so tired, but yes.
Well, okay. Before you pass out, what do you usually have the most to show?
I will do that. BS Big Show. Chico and I talked about week 13. I think it's 13, and we're going into week 14 action as the teams start their push to the playoffs. JR, Touch 'Em All will be doing its season ender very soon. We Love to Interrupt last night with special guest Ben Tridle. We talked about Survivor. We talked about Wheel of Fortune, how certain fans are just idiots about the game shows getting into the Hall of Fame. Red State Blue State is back. We will get to another episode of that. Pixel Nation will wrap up really soon. And of course, the panel with Gordon Pepper and all the shows here on Spectrum, what at Player.fm, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn's, iTunes, Overcast, Google Play Music, pretty much everywhere and anywhere. And of course, Carl, stay safe in the snow, believe it or not.
If it helps, my parents who live in Florida just sent me an article that there might be snow in the panhandle this weekend. And I'm just sending her a note. If it snows as far south as where she is, take pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have seen snow in Florida twice, in person, and in fact, somebody sent me a copy of the newspaper article from when I saw it when I was really, really little, but I remember seeing it all in my front yard. Okay, send this. I do have something that I want to promote, and that is American Wrestling Federation is already putting together shows that they are asking me to come back for. Our next show is January 6th, 2018 in Randolph, Minnesota. We're seeing some guys come in from the Wisconsin area. We've also got this sensation, this new dude, Downtown Petey Brown. He's about this big around. He reminds me a lot of Jeff Hardy or Jimmy Jacobs. He's a lot of fun to work with. And I wish I was managing him. That's okay. I'm still managing my black belt conspiracy theorist, John Jones. And hopefully someday I will manage Patient X and Killjoy again. It is so much fun to lead your wrestlers to the ring in chains. I kind of like that. Also, looking at the calendar real quick. We will probably not be podcasting on the 22nd of December or 21st of December for Christmas.
That would be the 21st, yes.
Okay, so it's probably not going to be the 15th. So the December 29th edition of the North American Wrestling Connection will have the Nikki Awards. And oh boy, do I have a lot of homework to do. We're going to talk about the best and some of the worst, including my unique rewards, the holy shit moment of the year and the oh shit moment of the year. We might have talked about the oh shit moment of the year this evening, and possibly the holy shit moment of the year. Maybe. Possibly. Maybe.
Possibly.
You never know. So, let's see. Is that all I got? Oh, yeah, screw you, Cat Daddy, for changing King of the Ring in Supercard that I can't train cards anymore. I haven't been able to get Jack and Bone from KOR. Shame on you people. With that.
Wait, hang on, whoa. What do you mean? Like, you can't, like, recharge them up or what?
No, I used to get training points for my cards when they were in KOR. So I've been throwing. I've gotten a bunch of beast singles that I'm trying to train up because I can't. I don't have room in my Ring Domination deck. I won a beast Roman from the last Battleground, and I'm trying to get him trained up. And I threw him in KOR, and he got nothing. His stat training isn't happening.
Oh, okay.
And I need to, you know, that was my other training ground because there's really no other place to train unless you play wild mode, and I don't like just sitting there plotting on wild. Good news is that Elimination Chamber does stat train, so get your divas in there quick. I'll have my Marise trained up soon enough. But yeah, I've reported it to Cat Daddy because I need that training ground. I need that training ground back. There was no reason to change King of the Ring. But that's just me. So, on that last note, I have nothing else to promote because I am right here and somebody's going to try to keep me from going into work early.
Well, you gotta have to kick her off.
Yeah. Oh yeah, this day in wrestling history, Happy Scary Dean emerged from an ambulance and hit Bray Wyatt over the head accidentally with a chair.
Sure.
No, I looked it up because on my Facebook I reposted a Bitstrip comic about Dean. And I looked up the Raw to see what was I talking about. And it was apparently Dean had gotten the crap kicked out of him by Bray Wyatt and was taken out on a stretcher. So while Bray's pontificating, the ambulance backs in. Dean emerges from the ambulance with, you know, still in his tattered clothes and a neck brace, somehow had a table in the ambulance, gets a whole bunch of random crap, throws a chair in the ring, and accidentally hits Bray square in the noggin with one.
Whoops.
So yes, look up Raw December 8th, 2014. I don't normally do this, but I had to bring it up because it's still funny, even today. So, for Jason Block, for Bad News Beeman, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection. Sorry for the rush, but it is the holidays and we are all very busy. So please come back next week because we have pick'ems to deal with, which means we've got to find out if Statboy's still alive or VRM found his voice.
Yeah, I know. Last pay-per-view 2017.
So yes, do tune in because the picks will be very, very interesting. See you next week.
The preceding podcast has been a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net.